Today's episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Gusto. Gusto offers payroll benefits and HR for modern small businesses. And right now, as a listener, you can get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Sign up and give it a try at gusto.com/creative. That's gusto.com/creative. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, which is not nearly as ominous as it sounds, Louder Than Words, and the new book, Herding Tigers, Be the Leader That Creative People Need, which is about how to create an environment in which creative teams thrive. Here on the show, we talk about you and your creative process and how to be prolific, brilliant, and healthy in life and in work at the same time, right? Which is the challenging part. We want to be prolific, meaning we're doing a lot of work because we have to do that in order to produce every day, in order to keep our job, in order to please our clients. We want to be brilliant, meaning we want to do good work, bring our best to what we do every day. And we want to do it in a sustainable way, in a way that allows us to produce results for years to come, not just in the short term where we go through cycles of crash, burn, refresh, crash, burn, refresh, but over the long term where we are producing consistent results that reflect the best of who we are and allow us to build a body of work that we can be proud of. One of the things that stands in the way of that are limits that we place on ourselves. And sometimes we don't even know we're placing those limits on ourselves, right? There are narratives we believe, there are stories we tell ourselves, there are artificial boundaries that we put in place. And listen, the reality is we all have limits, right? We all do have limits. There is a limit to what we are capable of. But unfortunately, we often artificially limit those boundaries. On today's show, we have Laura Gassner-Odding. She's going to talk about what it means to be limitless, how to ignore everybody, carve your own path, and live your best life. We're going to talk about some of the ways that we artificially limit ourselves and how instead we can step into our full potential as create on demand professionals. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Gusto. So Gusto offers modern, easy payroll benefits and HR to small businesses across the country. If you have a business or if you know someone who does, you probably know that small business owners have a lot of responsibilities. They wear a lot of hats, and some of those things are things they love to do. It's the reason they started the business. If you have a business, there are things you love to do, functions that you're just wired for that motivate you, that animate you, that get you out of bed in the morning. But some things like filing taxes, running payroll are not exactly in our sweet spot. And that's where Gusto comes in. Gusto makes payroll, taxes, and HR actually easy for small businesses. Can you imagine that? Fast, simple payroll processing, benefits, and expert HR support all in one place. Gusto automatically pays and files your federal, state, and local taxes, so you don't even have to worry about it. You know, if you've got that hovering over your head right now, we're getting close to the middle of April, right? You don't even have to worry about that. Plus, they can make it easy to add health benefits and even a 401k for your team. They truly are your partner in helping you do the aspects of your business maybe that you aren't necessarily wired to do. Those old school, clunky payroll providers just weren't built for the way that modern small businesses work, but Gusto definitely is. So let them wear one of your many hats. You have better things to do. Listeners to the Axon Creative get 3 months free when they run their first payroll. There's no reason not to check it out. 3 months free when you run your first payroll. Try a demo and see it for yourself at gusto.com/creative. Again, that's gusto.com/creative. And we thank Gusto for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's great to have on the show today Laura Gassner-Odding. She's the author of a new book called Limitless, How to Ignore Everybody, Carve Your Own Path, and Live Your Best Life. I think we all want to do that. Laura, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm excited for you. I'm excited for this book. So first of all, just for folks who may not be as familiar with your work, could you just tell us a little bit about kind of what you do and who you are?
I'm often called a kick in the pants wrapped in a warm hug. And I think that's because my superpower is that I can see the greatness in other people, often in ways where they can either see it for the first time for themselves or actually act upon it with confidence and vigor. And that's because I spent 20 years doing executive search. So I talk to people who are at the very top of their game, call them out of the blue and said, hey, how about this crazy new adventure you didn't even realize was a possibility? And through a series of conversations, got them convinced that, in fact, they really did want to do this new thing, and got them really excited to try to show up as their very best version of themselves for that position. Now, only one person gets the job. You know, when you do a big executive search and you often have 10 or 12 people gunning for it, again, all people at the top of their game. And so you end up then with 9 to 11 people who are like, well, now that I've worn those shoes as the CEO or the head of this or the head of that, and I've envisioned myself in that position, which is what you need to do in order to knock it out of the park for an interview, suddenly I'm hungry for that next thing. And then they became people who would come to me for career advice. So I spend my time, I'm writing, I'm speaking, I do a lot of executive coaching. I'm sort of helping people figure out how to get unstuck and get to that next level of where they want to be in order to live the life that they want to live.
Oh, that's great. And in all of this experience, obviously you've been in the trenches, you've locked arms with people, you've helped them through probably some very, very challenging times in their life. You've helped them identify who they are and what they want to do. And one of the themes of this book, Limitless, that you talk about, really, I'd say the core theme, is you talk about this concept of consonance, and you say that you think that we kind of have a bit of a consonance crisis right now. And I'm curious to hear what you mean by that. What is a consonance? Well, what is consonance? And then what is a consonance crisis?
So I define consonance in the book as aligning the what we do with the who we are. So if you're in alignment, if you're in flow, if you're in harmony, all of your energy is moving forward towards the thing that you want. Now, the reason that we're in crisis is because we have these insidious ideas that have, you know, creeped into our head over time, whether it was because our fourth grade teacher told us that we should really go do something. Oh, you're a really argumentative kid. You should be a lawyer. Oh, you're really good at math. You should think about finance. Oh, you seem to care about dissecting this frog today. Medicine is the future for you. Nobody ever says you should go into creative field. Nobody tells you that when you're young. So we have this idea that's been set in our head by somebody a long time ago in this moment that was probably just a throwaway comment, right? They had no Ouija board, they had no crystal ball, and they had a throwaway comment, and we took it as definitional. Second, we think about balance, work-life balance. Like, we have to be the person we are at work so that we can be the person we are at home. And I think that's malarkey. I think we should be the same person in both places so that one person adds to the other person, and we're not in that sort of code switch exhausting between the who we are and the what we do. Then I think there's this idea that we have to have purpose, some kind of higher purpose. We're going to do work now and we're going to have purpose later, or our work has to have purpose or it doesn't matter. And again, purpose is, we're defining purpose badly. And then I think, lastly, we spend a ton of time following our passion and thinking that maybe that's going to be the thing, but oh, actually, I'll do that later, right? So we're like looking at these Instagrammable memes of you know, flaxen-haired beauties with flower crowns staring off into the distance and thinking, oh, well, they've found happiness. Clearly, I'm not happy, so I should work harder. I should hustle more. I should put my shoulder down to the grindstone. And during these 20 years of interviewing people, I found it fascinating that, you know, again, all the people that I interviewed were at the top of their game. They were all phenomenal. They were successful people, but they weren't all happy. And I thought the dichotomy between success and happiness was an interesting one. If you've done everything right, if you checked all the boxes, why do you turn around and say, if the boxes are so full, why do I still feel empty? And I realized that the problem is because we spent all of this time following the boxes, filling the boxes on someone else's path to success, following someone else's definition of success. And until we stop and we say, is that really what my definition of success is? We're not going to be happy. You can't be insatiably happy for someone else's goal, no matter how hard you lean into that goal.
Yeah. And when you, in the subtitle, I mean, just to offer a bit of candid, insight into my response, when I saw the subtitle of your book and it says "How to Ignore Everybody" is the first thing, and I'm like, well, I don't know if I agree with that. But then, because we need other people, right? We need feedback from other people. We need insight from other people. But then, when I read the book and I realized, oh, you're talking about ignore what everybody else would do in your situation, which is, I think, how most people give advice. Well, here's what I would do if I were you. Well, but you're not me. You know, you don't have the same perspective, the same passions, the same skills, the same experiences as I do. So I will receive your feedback, certainly, because you have a lot of experience, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I am beholden to your advice just because you gave it to me. And I think that's a really important insight as well. We need to glean the wisdom of other people, but it's important that we don't try to run their race, because that's a path to insanity, I think, is trying to do what somebody else would do in our situation.
Yeah, or even trying to do what they would do in their situation. So, you know, yes. We look around and we say, oh, well, if purpose is this idea where we're doing something that has a higher purpose, and I'm not going to be happy unless I have this higher purpose, then, you know, maybe I'll shelve that for now. And I think what we need to start doing is to say, well, does purpose matter to me? What is my personal purpose? And I think it starts by figuring out what your calling is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we think calling has to be this lofty thing. And, you know, I looked up the word purpose in the dictionary, and here's the definition of purpose: the reason for which something is done. Mm-hmm. That's it, right? There's no picture of Mother Teresa feeding lepers. There's no, you know, there's no nurse in a war-torn country feeding alms to the poor, giving alms to the poor. Purpose is just your personal purpose. So if your purpose is curing cancer, great. Go for it. If your purpose is buying a Maserati and a beach house, great. Go for it. It's your purpose. And so the idea behind ignoring everybody is not to let other people influence what your purpose is. So if, you know, I thought when I was younger, my purpose was to run for office and save the world by solving all the problems. And then I realized that actually, after spending some time in politics, my first job in the White House, I realized I don't actually want to run for office. That's terrible. The way the sausage is made is not something anybody should ever see. But in fact, my purpose, how I could save the world and make the world a better place, was to use the talent that I have, which, as I said, was seeing people and seeing their greatness, to put them in positions where they could change the world. And I could be much more efficient. And I could use that as a fulcrum to help many more people get in the right place than if I were just serving myself and my ego and putting myself in that position. And so, you know, my purpose, my calling has always been to use that lever to help people change the world. But in fact, then I realized partway through what I really liked doing was being an entrepreneur, and I enjoyed building a business. So my calling shifted from not just being the person who's in the position who's, you know, to use this talent of this lever of talent to change the world, but my calling was actually being an entrepreneur, building a business. I became my own calling during that time because I cared so much. I got out of bed every day because I was excited to take my firm over the next hurdle of innovation. And that calling became my North Star. It became the thing that I wanted to do, the problem I wanted to solve, the bottom line I wanted to build, that thing that was bigger than me. And so everyone needs to start with this idea of calling. What is your calling? What is the gravitational pull that you have? Because everything's from there.
Yeah, I was. So it's funny that you say that, and because I was sitting on a plane in LaGuardia, I spoke to a group last Friday. I was sitting on a plane in LaGuardia, and I just had this thought, and I tweeted it out just sort of as a lark, which was you know, there's this myth, Laura, that, you know, if you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. You've probably heard this phrase before.
I hate that myth. I hate it so much.
Same here. It, but people adopt it and they put it on bumper stickers. And I said, reality, when you find something you love, you will suffer through whatever is necessary to practice your craft and accomplish your goals, right? And I think what the difference there is, we're talking about calling, right? I think people confuse calling with something I like doing every day. And I don't know about you, but for me, my journey as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, has not always been pleasurable. I've had to do a lot of stuff I didn't want to do in order to accomplish the outcomes that I felt called to accomplish. And that's a very different way of thinking about it than just thinking about. And I think especially a lot of younger people, I'm sure you've seen this in executive search, right? Or a lot of people who are kind of trying to figure out their place in the marketplace, they think, well, I want to like the tasks I do all day. Well, none of us get to do that. We're professionals, right? But we have to fall in love with the outcomes. We have to fall in love with with the process itself and the thing we're trying to do.
Absolutely. So I say to people, like, don't follow your passion, invest in your passion, because your passion is going to knock you down. It's going to kick you in the butt. It's going to gut you, and it may gut your bank account on the way to figuring out how to do it. But when I was doing search, I never really looked for subject matter expertise. And part of that was because I was the CEO. By the time candidates got to me, they were qualified. Yeah. But honestly, I do believe that people can learn the science. It's the art that's the trick. So I looked for five things. I looked for hunger, weight, tenacity, speed, and grit. And somebody who's just following their passion has loads and loads of hunger, but they are never going to have grit. It's the person who invests in their passion, who gets knocked down by their passion, who is willing to do the hard yards in the dark when nobody sees. Those are the people who are going to be successful, because they're the ones who develop that grit through the tenacity of going after it over and over and over again. And again, you can't be insatiably hungry for someone else's goal. So it's got to be yours. It's got to be your passion, but you have to expect there's more than just following it. And that's where the next two C's of connection and contribution come in. So connection is the sight lines into how your everyday work serves that calling that you want to serve by solving that problem, by growing the company, by reaching the goal. It's how do you, in that job, in that box, in that organizational chart, in that company, matter? Does your work actually matter? And it may be just that you just don't have sight lines into how it matters. And that's an easy fix. You pop yourself up from your cubicle and you say, hey, can I attend that meeting with you? Can I tag along to this thing? Can I be part of that conversation? And frankly, most bosses are like, oh, thank God they care. They're so happy to have somebody there. But it's, if the work you're doing on a daily basis doesn't actually serve that calling you care about, then you don't have any connection to it. And that matters. Now, when I was 21 years old working on a presidential campaign, I had all the calling in the world, right? I was worth my weight in ramen soup, but I was gophering coffee. Like, I didn't have any connection whatsoever. But it mattered to me to have more calling than connection. You don't have to have all these C's equally, which then brings the third C of contribution. I had a ton of contribution because I was manifesting my values into my life every single day. I was putting myself in a position that would impact the velocity of my career trajectory. I was not earning any money to have the life or the lifestyle that I wanted, but I knew I was contributing further. So connection is all about the work that you're doing and how it connects to that calling. Contribution is about you. So you may say, I'm not doing stuff I like to do every single day as an entrepreneur, but as an entrepreneur, I'm able to live the lifestyle that I want. I'm able to earn to have the lifestyle that I want. I'm able to set the values that I want for my company so that I can live them and manifest them every single day. And I'm able to impact my own career trajectory in a way that contributes to all of these things. And so the calling is an important place to start, but that balance of connection and contribution is where you really say, I'm working, but I love it. And I don't feel like I'm working a day in my life, or I'm working and I love it. And actually, I love that I'm working every day in my life because I love what I'm doing. What I'm doing defines me. It's consonance. It's what I do that connects to who I am.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the final C, which is control. And we often hear that used in a negative context, right? Like, we don't want to be controlling. You don't use it that way. So let's talk about what control means.
Yeah, so I am a control freak of the highest order. I mean, I'm not a roller coaster girl, right? But I like risk. So I've always been an entrepreneur. I'm a serial entrepreneur, and the reason is because I like controlled and contained risk. So if I know what the worst possible scenario, the worst possible thing that might happen will be, and I've made a plan for that, then pretty much everything else you know you can handle. I think we spend a lot of time as entrepreneurs thinking about, oh my God, what do I do if I fail? And what do you do if you fail? You'll go back and find some mind-numbing job in a cubicle somewhere until you figure out your next plan. And then you'll start again. What we don't do is we don't spend a lot of time thinking about, what'll I do if I succeed? Right? Then what's the next step? And I think we get stuck there. And so control reflects how you're able to influence the amount of connection that you have to your calling so that you have some assignment, some say in the assignments that of the projects, of the deadlines, of the colleagues, of the clients. Maybe you can offer input into shared goals, and you can do work that contributes to your career trajectory and your earnings. So it's how much control do you have over the connection to that calling and the contribution that it's going to make to your life. And everybody wants and needs different amounts of it at different ages and different life stages. But the idea of having some control allows you to feel like, oh, I'm actually an entrepreneur of my own life. I have agency in my own life.
Yeah. And I think that to your point, that becomes more important, I think, as you progress in your career. I think that when you begin, it's like, hey, I just want to be involved in an industry I love, doing work I love. I don't care if I have control. But I think as you progress, I think that becomes more important. I'm always thinking of Cal Newport's phrase, career capital, I think is what he called it, where you want to be in a career where over the course of time you can invest, you can earn career capital that you can exchange for more freedom later, which is, I would say, that translates pretty directly to your concept of control. I want to be able to have some degree of control over how I engage with my work and over, like you said, the contribution, the connection piece of it. And I want to be operating within my calling. But we don't always get that at the very beginning of our career. It's something we kind of have to earn a little bit over time. Do you agree with that, or where do you fall on that?
I do. I love that. I love that concept. You know, I think of it as like money, health, and time. And you never have all three at the same time, in full form, but you can use some to trade on the other, right? Mm-hmm. Right now, yeah. I have good health, and I've got, I'm doing all right, so I've got some money, but I don't have time. So if I can spend some money to earn more time, right, to pay somebody to do stuff that isn't the highest and best use of my time, I'm going to do that every day of the week, right? So, and sometimes it's to go to the gym so I can get more help.
Sure.
But I do think that we all have all kinds of different capital in our lives, and we don't think about how to spend them. But then you have people that say, well, I've got young kids, I'm in the middle of school right now, I've got debt, I've got these things, it would be great to go pursue this path of consonance, but I don't have the privilege or the luxury or the freedom to do it right now. And that's where the side quest comes in. So the side quest, do you play video games?
Very limitedly. I have teenage sons. So, yeah.
Okay. So I have a 16-year-old son, and I was one day bemoaning the fact that I had a terrible night of sleep and I needed to finish a chapter and I had to send it to my publisher and woe is me. I'm never going to get it done. And this whole day is going to be a disaster. And my 16-year-old son looks up from his breakfast and he says, well, why don't you just go on a side quest? And I said, well, what's a side quest? And he goes, well, it's like a video game side quest. So if you're stuck and you're waiting for your friend to finish dinner with his family so he can log on to play the video game that you want to play together, but his mom is probably going on about something and can't log on, you're sitting there waiting. So what do? If the whole goal of the game is to go to the castle and slay the dragon and save the princess, well, what are you going to need when you get there? You're going to need a horse and you're going to need a sword. So what can you do while you're waiting? You can think about how to earn money for the horse and the sword. So what you need to do is you say, I'm sitting here on this farm. I've got crops. I can tend my crops. I can take them to the market. I can use the money to buy a sword and buy a horse so that when I'm able to leave for the quest to go to the castle and slay the dragon, I can save the princess. So maybe just go tend some crops today. Take a class. Get involved in a networking group. Read some books. Listen to some podcasts. Like, do some things now that will help you so that when you are able to then go on your full quest, you're ready and able and you have the sword and you have the horse and you have everything else you need.
Oh, I love that. That's so great. Well, we've been talking to Laura Gassner-Odding. She's the author of a new book called Limitless, How to Ignore Everybody, Carve Your Own Path, and Live Your Best Life. Laura, what's the best place for people to find you if they want to come find you?
Yeah, so people can find me on all the socials at HeyLGO, just like, hey there, HeyLGO, or at HeyLGO.com. But if your listeners are listening and they're thinking, boy, I really want to figure this out and I'm not sure where to go first, the best thing they can do is they can take a 10 to 15 minute quiz that I have set up, and it's LimitlessAssessment.com. And when they go to LimitlessAssessment.com, there's about 60 questions. It'll walk them through the four C's and it'll give them a beautiful radar chart after that gives one chart that shows all the places, how much calling, connection, contribution, and control they want to have in their life, and how much calling, connection, contribution, and control they currently have. And then where they're out of consonance, it'll actually give some tips about what are the first things that they might want to think about doing to get themselves back into consonance.
Well, Laura, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you so much. It was fun.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, join the conversation at collective.accidentalcreative.com. That's where we chat about all of these topics. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.